This is James Coover with K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat and Southwind District with your Extension Crop Report. If you are like me, every year you look to the pasture trying to find the perfectly shaped Christmas tree. It can't be too tall or too misshapen to be this year's grand champion. That is, before being cut down, stood in the living room and covered in shiny things. Unless you live near a Christmas tree farm, it is very likely that any evergreen tree out in the field is going to be an eastern red cedar. Latin name, Juniperus virginiana. The Juniperus is a Latin name because the eastern red cedars aren't actually cedars at all, but a juniper. However, there are lots of junipers that are confused for cedars and vice versa. Most junipers are small bushy shrubs, but our eastern red cedar juniper can grow up to 65 feet tall. That's nearly as tall as any of our big stately oaks, walnuts, and pecans. Something rather cool about eastern red cedar is that they are dioecious species, meaning the individual trees are either male or female. The male creates little brown pollen cones at the end of their needles, while females create little blue berries that are also little cones with a few seeds inside. Younger trees might not have either yet, like the ones that often end up in my small living room, as it takes a few years before they attempt any reproduction. Cedars are very prolific and can take over any pasture that isn't managed. They can grow in swampy wet areas, rocky hilltops, in thick understory, or completely unprotected. They are native to Kansas and most of the Great Plains, where they used to grow on rocky bluffs where they could escape the burning of the prairies. Red cedars do provide food for birds from the female berries and create thick shelters for different animals. For you deer hunters, a few red cedars do provide a certain amount of cover and brush that deer prefer, but too many deer avoid because they can't see far in the shrouding area. Also, red cedars grow thick and can limit the understory brush and broadleaves that deer graze on. Quail will also use the occasional red cedar as a headquarter, but too many and it won't leave enough an understory for the quail to run through. If you have big red cedars that are too tall and too high up for quail, they can be cut down and a few left laid over in a pile. Another wildlife use of red cedars is for a fish habitat. Tying a cylinder block to a red cedar and throwing it into a pond or quarry will provide a place for little fish to hide, and fish nurseries of sorts can be made in one area of the pond. A red cedar will have a natural resistance to decomposing and will last a few years underwater. Of course, the red cedars will catch a fish hook, so designate just one or two areas of the pond. Besides use for wildlife, red cedars are often used for windbreaks for houses and cattle, as they don't require much maintenance, besides spraying for bagworms, and they grow fairly quickly. Controlling red cedars is actually pretty easy. Unlike the majority of deciduous trees, they don't grow back from the stump if cut below the lowest growth point, so no stump treatment is needed. In native prairie, prescribed fire can't control trees less than 3 feet tall. Grazon PD, Surmount, and Toradon are the most effective herbicides on red cedar, but effectiveness decreases with tree size. If you have any questions about using red cedars for wildlife habitat or how to control them within a field, please give us a call. You can reach us at 620-724-8233. This has been James Coover with your Extension Crop Report.